You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Flashback, Volume 4. Today, I'm joined by Kareem to take a closer look at the politics shaping Vancouver and Canada. We'll be speaking to my friend Sarah Thomas about the Liberal National Convention and Vancouver mayoral candidate Brett Mullins about his vision for the city. This is Flashback. Hey, welcome to Flashback. How's it going?
Good. How are you, man?
Good. I'm good. I'm Alec Christensen, joined by Kareem, as always. Mm-hmm. It seems to be. That's the trend we're
Now. Third time on now.
I know. You're ranking up Flashback and the Flashback family.
Reaching the position of co-host, hopefully.
Yeah. What's new? I mean, I've been with you every day.
Lately, yeah.
But what's new for you?
Finals have been over. Summer's started. That's been very fun.
Free from the burdens of education.
Yeah, for sure. We got a little bit of sunshine as well, which was great. And then the weekend turned back to rain, which wasn't so great.
Go figure.
Yeah.
Go figure.
More like Vancouver, though.
Yeah. Well, if you're listening on the radio, we've been off for a month instead of the normal 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Last episode didn't air. Minor technical issue. We got replaced with 90 minutes of static. It happens. But if anyone is interested in listening, you can go to CITR.ca, search Flashback, or search Alec, or search Christensen, whatever. And you can find the episode online. We do a great interview with some of our friends from the Internet Music Collective, Raised by the Internet. We play new music by a couple of them. And it was a really fun episode.
No, it was definitely like a really cool episode.
And it'll also re-air next in 2 weeks. So if you don't feel like going online, you can catch it then.
Sweet.
Do you know what this episode is called, Kareem?
Let me just look. I actually don't. Tell me.
It's called Politricks.
Okay.
Do you know what Politricks are?
Not really.
Have you ever heard the term Politricks before?
I don't think so. I might have seen it on Twitter or something, but yeah.
I got it from a podcast I like, but can you decipher what you think it means?
Politricks?
Yeah.
Like maybe shady politics?
Yes.
Yeah.
And like all politics are kind of shady, right?
Yeah.
So I think...
More like a Trumpian shady or like a Veep kind of like slimy, sleek?
Yeah,
okay.
I think the Trump shady is kind of so clear.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
Like, it's not even shady.
No, not at all.
But
this
yeah.
is more like Tony Blair, George Bush
yes,
era.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
So we'll be talking with a couple different political figures and looking at some political music. You may remember from your first episode here, we talked about Mayor Gregor Robertson's mm-hmm. April Fool's tweet where he said, "I will seek a fourth term as mayor due to the disastrous lineup of declared candidates. Can't let our incredible city be governed by nincompoops." And then one nincompoop replied, Brett Mellons, that's a joke. He's calling in later. He said, "You really think you're fit for the job again? Please run against me. I have a ton of examples as why you were one of the worst mayors to ever govern." Very harsh.
Yeah. Messy Twitter interaction.
Very messy. But we'll be talking to him in a little bit and catching up about his vision for the city, his mayoral campaign, and like Twitter politics a little bit too. We'll also be speaking with my friend Sarah Thomas, who is the young liberal rep to the Women's Liberal Commission, and she attended the National Liberal Convention in Halifax. And we'll also be looking at musicians who have political themes in their music. Let's get into it. Forgive me if my fantasies might seem a little shoplifted. I'm sure you've heard it all before. I wonder what's the right form. Love song written for you. It's been going down for years. But to sing what's in my heart seems more honest than the tears. I am curious. Song a bust. I don't care. Rock star. I met you several years ago. The times that were so strange, but I had a feeling. You looked into my eyes just once, an instant flashing by that we were stealing. So bad, and I wasn't in any help at all, as I recall. We didn't know quite what to do, so we left the wanting be still there for me and you. Dark star, I see you in the morning. Dark star, asleep and next to me. Dark star. The memory of the evening be the first thing that you think of when you open up your smile and see me, dark star. It's easy to be with you, even with the storms that raised me in your search for peace. We must make some time together, take the kids and find a world that's ours to keep. Again, my soul, we touched, we did, you know, we did, no more teasing now. Dark star, I see you in the morning. Dark star, sleeping next to me. Dark star, let the memory of the evening be the first thing that you think of when you open up your smile and see me. Dark star. Thank you. That was Dark Star by Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Kareem, do you know who the fourth member of that singing group was?
Well, you gave me that whole song to like think about it and try to remember.
Yeah.
And I did.
Did you?
Neil Young.
Okay, good.
Yeah. You've definitely told me that before.
We've talked about this, yeah. So that's kind of why I quizzed you. For context, we live together, in case anyone listening forgot that. And Kareem, you're really into like what do you describe your genre of music?
Female pop empowerment.
Right. Like, can you give like an example?
Taylor Swift. Yeah.
As
usual.
As we all know.
So I'm not like really aware of Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Right. But now they're on your radar.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like them? Did you enjoy that song?
I did enjoy that song.
Okay, cool.
Like, I remember you forcing me to listen to about an hour of them, like in a row, and that I did not enjoy as much. But one song, no, that was definitely enjoyable.
It was like a Crosby, Stills, and Nash and the Grateful Dead, like, hour block.
Oof.
Okay, so I played them mainly because Neil Young was a member. I just like Dark Star a lot, even though he wasn't on that.
Okay.
And to kick off our conversation about political music and musicians who often incorporate, like, political themes into their songs, I want to talk about Neil Young, who is well known for doing that.
Yeah.
This song is called Children of Destiny. We're going to talk about it after we listen to it, but let's just get into it. So this is Neil Young and Promise of the Real with Children of Destiny.
We'll be right back.
Okay. Good stuff. What do you think of that song?
I mean, I don't think that would have been out of place in Frozen or like any Disney movie. Like, that was very simple, kind of empowering stuff. Is that like blasphemous to say? I'm very hesitant to.
That's fine. I think that's a good point. I played this song for my mom.
Yeah.
When I was home last week, and she said it was very like hymnal almost.
Okay. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
I can see that. It's very like
preachy,
rudimentary.
Yeah.
Very preachy. He often gets called preachy, and he's often criticized for it.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree?
I mean, like, based on that, it's just so, like, on the nose and so simple and just vague.
Yeah.
Like, was there any meaning apart from...
Yeah, so here, I'll give you some context.
Okay.
So the album, it's called The Visitor.
Mm-hmm.
The first song, it's called Already Great. And if you keep in mind that this came out during the 2016-2017 Trump era.
Was it before he was elected or after?
I think it was after.
Okay.
It's about Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And then Neil Young just has like a history of political music. He had an album called The Monsanto Years.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with Monsanto?
I am not.
They're like, I'm going to give you like the quick and dirty on them. They're like this, they're like a farming organization, but they like specialize in genetically modified foods, and they do a lot of like really shady things where they almost infect like neighboring crops with like their GMO seeds, and then because it's patented, they own the crops.
Okay.
So they can either sue or the person has to like give them up. It's very shady.
Is this like a recent thing? Or like
this is like kind of like very Bush era.
Okay.
But like they're still around.
Mm-hmm.
So he had an album about them. He also really got into protest music, as far as I can tell, during the Iraq War, because he said he wanted younger people to give different perspectives. But no one seemed to be saying anything, which, like, not sure if that's entirely true.
Yeah.
But that's how he...
I mean, that's fair enough. Like, there's always a place for political music if it's, like, done accurately or subtly. And, like Kendrick Lamar, you know, like, those kind of artists who, like, really utilize that, like, really well.
Yes.
I think just based on that song, he may be less, like, succinct in, like, what he says.
Totally. In terms of the song itself, like the lyrics, the stand up for what you believe and resist the powers that be.
About five times as well.
Do you have a take on that at all?
I mean, like, what does that mean? Just resistance, like, that means nothing. That's, like, not specific to anything.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay, so not a fan. All right.
I feel bad now.
Neil Young is,
like, a legendary figure, so,
he is, and he has great stuff. That's just not his best.
Okay, it's new as well. Like, yeah.
You know what happens.
Yeah.
Okay, we have another song coming up. This is a... incredible songwriter. She uses her music to address issues that are just often unrepresented and undercovered. So I don't want to say too much. I just want you to hear this and think, or give me your feedback.
Okay.
Ready?
Sounds good.
This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove I'm alright song.
That was a prank.
Yeah, well done. Yeah.
That was our gotcha for this week.
Yeah.
So the actual artist, Buffy St. Marie, Canadian-American.
Uh-huh. Rachel Platten.
Not Rachel Rachel Plantain. No, Buffy St. Marie, she is a songwriter. She's been working for almost ever.
Mm-hmm.
Oscar winner, I believe.
Okay.
Juno winner, maybe Emmy winner. I did not research her well enough for this. But this is her biggest song that she just re-released. It's called Universal Soldier. So it's about war. It's an anti-war anthem. Let's check it out and we'll talk about it.
He's 5'2" and he's 6'4". He fights with missiles and with spears. He's all of 31 and he's only 17. He's been a soldier for 1,000 years. He's a Catholic, a Hindu, an atheist, a Jain, a Buddhist and a Baptist and a Jew. And he knows he shouldn't kill. And he knows he always boys will kill you for me, my friend, and me for you. And he's fighting for Canada, he's fighting for France, he's fighting for the USA, and he's fighting for the Russians, and he's fighting for Japan, and he thinks we'll put an end to war this way. And he's fighting for democracy, he's fighting for the Reds, he says it's for the peace of all. He's the one who must decide who's to live and who's to die, and he never sees the writing on the walls. But without him, how would Hitler have condemned him at Dachau? Without him, Caesar would have stood alone. He's the one who gives his body as a weapon to a war, and without him all this killing can't go on. He's the universal soldier, and he really is to blame, but his orders come from far away no more. Can't you see? This is not the way we put an end to war.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I want to know more about her.
Okay. I'll give you a quick context.
Okay.
So she's Canadian. She's not Canadian-American. That was a mess up on my part.
Okay.
She's 77, so she's been around for a long time. She's been active since 1963.
And this song is from this year?
This song, well, it was re-released this year. It was from, like, the 70s, this is, like, her biggest song.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I could see ways in which it could be controversial.
Yeah.
Especially towards the end when she kind of puts blame on the soldiers, you know. Because often soldiers are...
Okay, like all like it, yeah.
Almost exempt from blame,
criticism.
You know?
Yeah. Does she put blame on governments? Like, what? I couldn't really catch the lyrics, like, properly.
She puts it on both, so she says, like, this is not a way we put an end to war, right?
Okay.
And she, like, talks about how without soldiers, the wars can't happen.
Okay.
So even if you're fighting for things like democracy or things that you think are noble,
yeah,
you're still... Complicit in it. This war machine.
Okay. I mean, if it's like a, really famous song, or it's like a really like anti-war anthem kind of thing, then like that's fair enough.
She, I read this a long time ago. I forgot about it. She was blacklisted.
Okay.
In the U.S., I guess Lyndon B. Johnson, was writing letters to praising radio stations for suppressing her music.
Wow.
And among with other Native American artists.
Okay.
Yeah. So. Definitely, probably why we don't know her is people like Neil Young.
Yeah.
Obviously, race plays into it, but yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah,
well, that's really interesting.
Like, she's like incredibly prolific. Prolific.
Thank you.
Songwriter.
Yeah,
and she's been around for a long time, but yeah, and she's acclaimed. Like, she gets lots of praise, but
yeah,
she's also definitely been silenced and repressed.
No, like, and that came out in the 70s, so like during the Vietnam War. Okay.
Yeah. Very heavy song.
Yeah.
Great theme.
I mean, like, what was her take on, like, veterans who came back and, like, protested against the war in the Vietnam War? Like,
I imagine she's anti-war. I really don't know a lot about that.
Okay. Just because, like, if it's, like, just, like, anti-all soldiers, you know, that doesn't kind of, like, make sense.
No, and I don't think she's anti, like, soldier.
Right.
Like, I don't think she hates them as people. I just don't think she... I think she's accusing them of being misguided.
Okay.
You know?
Even in conscription, like... That's true, in the context of a Vietnam War, like, I want to know more, basically.
Yeah. No, it does get hard there. That's a great point.
Okay.
Well, heavy song. Mm-hmm. Let's do a bit of a palate cleanser. We're going to listen to Katie Lang's cover of Joni Mitchell's Help Me. Then we're going to go to commercial, and we'll be back, and we'll talk to Sarah Thomas about the National Liberal Convention. This is Flashback. We'll be back.
In love again. When I get that crazy feeling, I know I'm in trouble again. I'm in trouble 'cause you're a rambler and a gambler, like a sweet talking ladies man. And you love your loving. such a lonely thing to do. Both of us flirting and flirting around and hurting too. And we love our loving like we love our freedom. Sweet
Crane Library is looking for student volunteers to record textbooks for those who cannot use print at the university. If you are a UBC student who is computer literate with an ability to read university material aloud and you have a willingness to learn new techniques, we ask for a two-hour commitment once a week. For additional information and to set up an audition, call 604-822-6114 or email crane.volunteer@ubc.ca.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
The New Testament.
I think the New Testament.
The question is, Pilate. You remember Pilate from the New Testament?
Pontius Pilate. He fiddled while...
Yeah, no, well, just a minute. Let me ask the question, then you can give me the answer, okay? Did Pilate want Jesus to be crucified?
Pontius Pilate washed his hands of it.
So did he want him to be crucified?
Yeah.
No. No. No.
Well, tune in every Friday afternoon, 3:30 to the Night Watch Show on Sunya.
Well, find a good church. It'll help you.
Hey, welcome back. That was Sting's cover of Help Me by Joni Mitchell. Really quick, before we move on, I want to do a quick wrap-up on Buffy St. Marie and Universal Soldier.
Yeah.
And there's this great quote on the Wikipedia page that says, I wrote Universal Soldier in the basement of the Purple Onion Coffee House in Toronto in the early 60s.
Okay.
It's about individual responsibility for war and how the old feudal thinking kills us all.
Okay.
So I think that, like, puts a like nice amount of clarity to it.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Before, like, the anti-war movement from, like, the vets.
Yeah.
So she must have, like, loved that, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. She was probably excited when that caught on. Apparently the song was not at all popular when it came out, but then as it kind of aged.
Yeah.
Especially in the folk community, it got a lot of attention and became a hit the next year.
Okay, that makes sense.
So we can put a pin in that. And one more way that music and politics interlapped... happened last week on Twitter, which I feel like the show really half the time is just like
getting its content
about,
from
like,
Twitter.
Yeah, the stuff I saw on Twitter the night before. No, this was happening last week when famed rapper and
he needs an introduction,
non-controversial person Kanye West expressed support for Donald Trump as a part of his like famous comeback to Twitter.
Yeah,
he said, "You don't have to agree with Trump, but the mob can't make me not love him. We are both dragon energy. He is my brother. I love everyone. I don't agree with everything anyone does. That's what makes us individuals, and we have the right to independent thought." Trump responded with, "Very cool, Kanye."
That Very was about cool, as Kanye, complex as...
was the other potential title for this episode. And then there was this conservative response. People like Charlie Kirk and Ben Shapiro, just like the worst parts of Twitter.
Yeah.
The coming cesspit. On the cesspit.
Yeah.
With the rap is cool now.
Yeah. They could co-opt Kanye now, basically.
It's the worst. It's the worst.
This is the most exciting thing to happen to their community.
They're too excited about this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, Kanye's just always been kind of problematic, too. So,
yeah.
Is this really who you want on your side?
And, what did Kanye do as well? He posted a picture of Emma Gonzalez saying "My Hero."
Oh yeah, yesterday. Yeah, so that was quite the plot twist.
He's definitely like covering all bases right now,
yeah.
Or maybe alienating all bases.
One or the other.
Yeah,
one or the other. And then he probably has a couple like not a couple, a lot of just diehard like, you can do anything. We'll support
Yeah. Like
insane.
Yeah, he has a lot of influence.
Definitely.
Sadly, maybe.
Definitely.
Yeah.
How do we get here? How do we get to the point where Kanye West is supporting Donald Trump on Twitter?
I mean, like, Kanye's always just been, like, one of a kind. And, like, he's always been, like, on the edge in terms of, like, you're not even sure if he's just doing it for attention or doing it for, like, a laugh or he actually believes all the stuff he says.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you do have to take it at face value. If he supports Trump, you're going to have to, like, the fans are going to have to accept he's supporting Trump and can't just, like, keep sweeping it under the rug or, like, pretending there's going to be some big reveal at the end.
A thing you're going to have to reconcile with.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is such an off-brand story for the show too, because we usually wouldn't talk about Trump. Like one of the rules I like, wanted to make when I came up with the show was like we're not going to say Trump's name, but I just feel like based off this episode's theme, this is like a story worth talking about.
And I definitely bring him up a lot. He's always in the back of my mind.
Well, he's kind of always present.
Yeah,
the worst. Oh my God.
Yeah.
A lot of people say narcissism as like maybe the defining, or not the defining, but like the quintessential
Kanye Trump
shared character trait, which I could see, and maybe that's why they're attracted to each other.
I mean,
I feel like the attraction actually might really go one way. Donald Trump probably
Trump's like
have
loving
a great grasp on who Kanye West is. Besides,
really,
rapper.
No, I think Trump's just like delighted to have like anyone in the black community first of all supporting him, and also anyone in like the liberal Hollywood rap community.
Yes.
So he's like grasping on with both hands.
It's insane.
Yeah, not even for a conventional Republican. Like, do they?
Kanye West supports Ted Cruz.
Yeah, exactly. So
Lil Uzi Vert supports Scott Walker.
It's not a thing that happens.
Future says that Jordan B. Peterson should be the next Prime Minister of Canada.
Is Jordan Peterson Trumpian?
No, they're different. They're different. Different kinds of bad.
True.
Okay. I want to keep talking about this, but I have a song I want to play really quick. This is Woody Guthrie with Tear the Fascist Down. Great classic political song, so let's check it out.
There's a great and a bloody fight around this whole world tonight. In the battle, the bombs and shrapnel rain. Hitler told the world around he would tear our union down, but our union's gonna break them slavery chains, and our union's gonna break them slavery chains. I walked up on a mountain in the middle of the sky, could see every farm and every town. I could see all the people in this whole wide world. That's a union that'll tear the fascists down, down, down. That's a union that'll tear the fascists down. When I think of the men and the ships going down while the Russians fight on across the Don, there's London in ruins and Paris in chains. Good people, what are we waiting on? Good people, what are we waiting on? So I thank the Soviets and the mighty Chinese vets, the allies, the whole wide world around. To the battling British, thanks, you can have 10 million Yanks if it takes them to tear the fascists down, down, down. If it takes them to tear the fascists down. But when I think of the ships and the men going down and the Russians fight on across the Don, there's London in ruins and Paris in chains. Good people, what are we waiting on? Good people, what are we waiting on? So I thank the Soviets and the mighty Chinese vets, the allies, the whole wide world around. To the battling British, thanks, you can have 10 million Yanks if it takes them to tear the fascists down, down, down. If it takes them to tear the fascists down.
Okay, Okay, you may remember last episode, the one that didn't air. We had the new segment, Questions for a Swiftie.
My favorite.
Because you're a Taylor Swift fan, as we want to keep reminding the listening audience. So as a Taylor Swift fan, do you at all feel vindicated about this whole Kanye West being a Trump supporter thing?
Absolutely. The amount of, like, things I heard from people, like, through the whole Kanye-Taylor feud, where, like, everyone would take Kanye's side and pretend Taylor was some kind of, well, like, the Aryan Trump supporter that, like, some people made her out to be. I think that was ridiculous. So, no, this is definitely, like, a good time to be a Taylor Swift fan, I think. Yes. And a good time to be Taylor Swift as well. I'm sure she's...
She probably thinks this is a funny plot twist. Yeah. No, like, I make jokes about Taylor Swift, as you know.
Yeah.
That the, like, saying she's, like, a Nazi is just ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, like, Twitter painted... Taylor to be Trumpian and Kanye to be a liberal, and they just never, like...
They're not. She's pretty apolitical, right?
Yeah, like, she's, like, generic...
She probably voted for Hillary.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Exactly.
I don't want to assume.
Still with her.
And then I also, like, I wrote down, I wanted to say, like, people questioning his mental health in this whole thing.
Yeah.
Not cool.
You think so?
I don't think so, because, like, he has had mental health issues, but...
Oh, yeah,
to assume just because someone likes Donald Trump... means that their mental health is bad. One stigmatizes people who like the mental health, like people who struggle with mental health,
and Trump supporters,
because like
it's half the population.
It's bad to support Trump, but it doesn't mean half the population is mentally
crazy.
Ill.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that people who are mentally ill have to support bad people.
That's true.
It's just
that's just like sweeping a problem under the rug if we're just going to say everyone's mentally ill.
Yes.
That's,
it's a reductive contribution to the conversation.
I mean, I think that's just like another kind of like attempt to again pretend Kanye isn't a Trump supporter and isn't like is actually a liberal like
for
all
sure.
along.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, I want to wrap this up pretty quickly, but I want to talk about separating the art from the artist. Can you still listen to Kanye after this? Do you think?
MBDCF is still like one of my favorite albums, so I could definitely listen to that.
Beautiful, dark,
yeah.
twisted fantasy.
Yeah. Exactly. I think you can.
Okay.
Like. And Kanye is kind of, like, just, like, teetering on between, like, genius and crazy, although not, like, mental health, but, like,
just like
he, yeah, he, like...
Off the cuff, against the grain. Yeah.
I mean, like, the single he released, the Scoop-Doo,
yeah.
That's, like, the opposite of MBDTF,
right.
But it kind of just goes both ways with Kanye. So,
I
think he still can.
Yeah. It just sucks, when the artist you like or appreciate kind of let you down, but...
Yeah.
I guess it also depends on the severity of... This isn't a crime, but the severity of like the disappointment, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like, what would it take to make you stop listening to Kanye?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, there's this clip that I thought of this week. Hopefully, it plays loud enough. That kind of reminds me of this whole situation, and then we're gonna listen to a song by Janelle Monáe.
What's he doing?
Why would he do that?
He's a jackass.
Baby, don't make me spell it out for ya. All of the feelings that I got for ya can't be explained, but I can try for ya. Yeah, baby, don't make me spell it out for ya. You keep on asking me the same questions.
Why?
And second guessing all my intentions. Should know by the way I use my compression. That you got the answers to my confessions. It's like I'm powerful with a little bit of tender and emotional sexual bender. Mess me up, yeah, but no one does it better. There's nothing better. That's just the way you make me feel.
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 Uh-huh. So good, so good, so good, so real. Uh-huh. That's just the way you make me feel.
That's just the way you make me feel.
That's just the way you make me feel.
You know I love you, so please don't stop it.
You got me right here in your jean pocket.
Right now.
Laying your body on the shag carpet. Oh. You know I love you, so please don't stop it. It's like I'm just the
Damn. That's just the way you make me feel. That's just the way you make me feel.
All right, welcome back. We're here with Sarah Thomas over FaceTime to talk about the National Liberal Convention in Halifax, as well as your work as the women's rep to the Young Liberals of Canada, right?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Good, good. How was the convention? Was it fun?
It was really awesome. Really tiring, but really, like, but really energizing at the same time. Just
sure.
Great to see so many other people who are really excited about making more real change and continuing positive politics across the country. So
that's
awesome.
Really awesome. That's cool. So before we get too deep in into the convention, I want to talk more about your the different like political work you've done mainly in the last year and a half, right? Kind of maybe in 2 years.
Yeah.
So before you even came to Canada, you went to high school in Colorado, and you were working with the Colorado Democratic Party in 2016.
Does anybody have a freshman?
Right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, and then after that, you founded an organization called Colorado Votes.
Yeah.
Or co-founded.
Yep.
So can you explain what that is, kind of, because that's interesting when I was reading about it.
Yeah, so Colorado Votes pretty much is... we kind of consider, or they now consider themselves a grassroots organization, kind of started out of a bunch of volunteers after who had all come out of the Clinton campaign. Our big focus right now is on getting, like, registering voters across Colorado and getting high voter turnout. We have a couple areas of focus in particular, which are SD16, which is, this might be getting a little bit too techie, but it's really important because in Colorado, there's one seat that is making the Republicans have control of the Senate.
Captain.
And because of that, they've been able to block a lot of really good legislation, like banning gay conversion therapy. Is a huge one that they've continuously struck down. And so it's really important that we're able to focus on certain winnable Senate districts in order to flip the Colorado Senate. And then we're also focusing on Congressional District 6 in Colorado.
Okay.
To try to flip that. Yeah.
Interesting. That's really cool. That's really important work, too. And now at UBC, you became the women's rep to the Young Liberals. So just maybe in some broad terms, can you explain, like, maybe key components of your job or some, like, key accomplishments or highlights?
Yeah. So I literally just got this position officially on Saturday. So we're just getting started in terms of the accomplishments, although I have some really good work for my predecessor to continue.
Okay.
But kind of the goals of the position are just to represent the needs and the wants of young women in our party, and also to make sure that we have, this was something that my predecessor really undertook, was just visibility of women within the party and understanding the unique struggles of women within the party. And I kind of, my goals, kind of to sum up my platform is to take that visibility and turn it into more action. So what can we do to recruit more young women into our party?
Okay.
What can we do to make sure that young women feel welcomed in our party? Stuff like that.
Sure. Do you have any ideas of how you want to do that so far?
We're going to continue the work that my predecessor did, kind of running a couple social media campaigns. So hopefully we'll make that should happen again this year, in these next 2 years. And then another thing that we're working on is that I want to do is to make sure that when we're going about recruitment that we're having some women-only events. I think that's important because it provides a space where we're making sure that a woman is never the only woman in the room, and we're also making sure that women feel comfortable, because even when there's an imbalance, women can feel like their voice doesn't matter as much, or maybe they won't feel as welcomed, and so that's going to lower our recruitment numbers.
Pink like the inside of your baby, pink behind all of the doors, crazy pink like the tongue that goes down, maybe pink like the paradise found. Pink when you're blushing inside, baby pink is the truth you can't hide, maybe pink like the folds of your brain, crazy pink as we all go insane. So here we are in the car, leaving traces of us down the boulevard. I wanna fall through the stars, getting lost in the dark is my favorite part. Let's count the ways we could make this last forever. Sunny, money, keep it funky, touch your top it, let it down.
Alright, so you got to attend Liberal Convention in Halifax. You enjoyed it?
Yeah, it was a really good time.
That's good.
For sure.
What was like the general vibe or the mood like at the convention?
Yeah, I think like young liberals and liberals recognize that we've done a lot of good work being in government, things especially like the child care benefit, where we've really been able to make an impact on Canadians who were left behind, and making sure that we're making their lives easier and making their lives better. And I think there's a recognition that in order to continue this good work and to be able to implement other parts of our platform, that we just, you know, being in governments can be tricky, and that we haven't gotten the chance to really implement yet. And so I think overall the vibe was that we need to get ready to dig our heels in to do some really awesome work to make sure that we're ready to win the next election and continue to bring this real change to Canadians and to Canadian families.
Sure. Okay. And as a non-Canadian, when is the next election? Like, is something I want to know.
Okay, the next election is in 2019.
Okay, okay.
Has not been called yet. Yeah.
Okay, sounds good.
Just to be clear, that was in reference to you, not me.
No, yeah, that's fine.
I'm a real Canadian, I promise.
Yeah, thank you for clarifying that, actually. That was vague. Okay, did you have any other highlights from the convention? I saw on Instagram you had a selfie with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau.
Yeah, that was definitely a highlight. Getting to meet the Prime Minister was pretty cool.
Did you have an opportunity to like talk to him at all, or was it pretty brief?
It was pretty brief. Sure. He was very busy over the weekend. He had also just come from Europe, so
okay.
Yeah, it was kind of a crazy weekend for all of us. But in terms of a highlight, I really have to say, like, getting to see so many amazing MPs and so many amazing Canadian leaders speak all in one place was really, really cool.
Sure. Yeah. And then who did you attend? Did you attend with the Young Liberals, or did you go with the Women's Liberal Commission, or who were you with?
Yeah. So that's a tough question to answer. I think like the way that convention works is it was the most open like convention ever, so okay. Literally any registered liberal could go.
Okay.
So I would say first and foremost I went as a registered liberal, although I will say like UBC YLC did a really good job of making sure that our contingent to use that word or just our club membership was really given the opportunity to be able to go and the access to funds and the access to just overall information about what it really takes to go. And yeah, like booking flights and booking hotels, just all of that stuff. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. And then I like to give every guest we have, I always forget to do this, but this is something I'm really trying to like implement. shout outs or call outs. Do you have anyone you want to give a shout out to, or anyone you want to call out if you're feeling messy?
Oh, wow. Can I be lame and give a shout out to my mom and be like,
of course,
thanks
of course.
For raising me to be a feminist.
Yes. That's awesome. I gave a shout out to my mom on the first episode too, so it's fair game. All right, Sarah, thank you so much for calling in. Take care.
Thanks for having me.
We should get you back on soon.
Yeah. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk about this stuff.
Of course. Awesome. See you later.
See ya. Bye.
Gone are the days when the ox fall down. You take up the open plow, the fields around. Lady said, please, Jelly Jack Jones, won't you come to me? Brown-eyed women and red grenadine. The bottle was dusty, but the liquor was clean. Sound of the thunder with the rain pouring down, and it looks like dregs of the whiskey jar. 1930, when the wall caved in, he paid his way selling red-eye gin. Brown-eyed women and red grenadine. The bottle was dusty, but the liquor was clean. Sound of the thunder, rain pouring down, and it looks like the old man's getting ready. Times over and the rest was sins. Raised eight bars.
Tune in to African Rhythms every Friday from 7:30 to 9 o'clock with your host, David Love Jones, as he plays a heavyweight selection of classics from the past, present, and future. This includes jazz, soul, hip-hop, Afro-Latin, funk, and eclectic Brazilian rhythms.
Lots of people, they take it like a game.
Skookum Festival is here, where urban meets wild in Vancouver's iconic Stanley Park, September 7th, 8th, and 9th. The Killers, Florence and the Machine, Metric, R. Kells, The War on Drugs, St. Vincent, Father John Misty, Blue Rodeo, Mother Mother, Promeo, Bahamas, Stereophonics, and many more. Passes on sale now through SkookumFestival.com. Skookum Festival, produced by Brand Live, in collaboration with Virgin Mobile.
The very best in bluegrass music, plus classic country, Cajun, rockabilly, western swing, and whatever jumps off the shelves at us. Tune in every Tuesday morning at 6:30 for Pacific Pickin' with your host, Arthur Berman.
And I'm Andrea.
The lovely Andrea, who will also provide you with our concert calendar and every bit of news and information you can possibly need. And as if that wasn't enough, there's a warm-up show at 6 featuring a little bit of a wider variety of roots and branches of bluegrass music. So tune in each morning, 6 for the warm-up show, 6:30 for the main show, Pacific Pickin' on CITR 101.9 in Vancouver.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Hey, welcome back to Flashback. We just had a great conversation with Sarah Thomas about the Liberal Convention in Halifax.
Yeah.
What'd you think of that?
That was, like, really interesting. It's always just interesting to hear about youth activism and, like, people your age doing a lot more important things than you are.
Right. Yeah, we're here doing a biweekly pop culture radio show. And she's
out there meeting Trudeau and getting people
to vote in Colorado.
Yeah. That's really
interesting. I think the Colorado votes thing is really interesting.
Yeah. No, I'm, yeah. Awesome. That was super cool.
Okay. Well, we're about to get mayoral candidate Brett Mullins and famed Twitter savage on the phone to talk about his campaign. So let's call Brett.
This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove them all right song.
All right.
To Flashback, we have mayoral candidate Brett Mullins on the phone. How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you. Thanks so much for calling in. I'm excited to talk about your campaign and YPP, which is your political party. And it's new to the municipal level. It was a provincial party, and you brought it to the city level. What exactly is it, I guess, in broad terms?
Well, yeah, it is. It still is a provincial party, YPP of BC, so that's your political party. And it's still run by the leader, James Filippi. And what we're basically doing is it's a political party that doesn't really focus on leaning left or right. It's dealing with the current case that we're in and how do we get the public involved. And then we decide as a public to determine each bill, where do we lean, left, right, center, so on and so forth. But for the most part, my personal views is more centric than anything. We end up deciding to move some of our people around just to keep our name going, but also to enter into the municipal elections because a lot of people municipally like to get into the policies, and that's a great way to start building our base as well to get people more involved.
Sure.
Yeah, but the one thing that that was new is that YPP of Vancouver merged in with Pro Vancouver. It's another political party municipal in Vancouver. So we merged in with them on Friday.
Okay, that's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. They have similar views, and that's run by the leader, David Chen, who's running for mayor as well. So then it was a tough decision because I've spoke with David Chen about it last year or so, And he's similar ideology in the sense that there is no leaning left, right, or center, same concept. So it was a tough call, but what we ended up doing is merging in. And I stepped down as a mayoral candidate to run as a councillor for City of Vancouver, and he will be continuing as a mayoral candidate for pro-Vancouver.
Oh, okay. Okay, good to clarify that then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was going to ask, actually, I was going to follow up and ask if you were concerned about splitting the vote, but that seems like the right strategy to avoid that happening.
Well, it's a good question, and it still is a question, though, right? It still is. And that exactly what, and we don't have proportional representation, so yeah, I would be splitting the vote. We're still in that bucket right now. You think of COPE, who is trying to stay alive. You know, they're seeing who they can collaborate with, and they're constantly trying to figure out who's the best out of Greens and Swanson and so on and so forth for them to collaborate with. For us, it's not best to work with Vision. That's one thing that we would not do. So the union, one of the union, Vancouver Union, I'm trying to think of the name of them, they want Vision on the table. So we said we're not going to deal with the union as well. But NPA will not work with, and One City we won't work with. So that leaves us with basically Greens and COPE, but I'm not sure about COPE quite yet because they're trying to stay alive.
Okay. And you guys, you are willing to work with the Greens, right? On the website it says on environmental issues mainly you're going to consult them and work with their officials that are elected, right?
And again, that's where David Chin and I have that commonality, is that we look for our subject matter experts to make those decisions for the policies and also get the public involved. You know, I work in healthcare, I'm a project manager, and that's what I do. I can't always have all the answers, so I go to different medical areas, whether it be oncology or so on and so forth, and I need input from the subject matter experts. So this is the same concept as the Greens. How can I say what's best for the environment for Vancouver when the Greens have been in it for so long? That's, you know, where their niche is the green city. So absolutely would follow suit for any green policies would be with the Green Party.
Sure.
Anything outside of that, I don't know. Of course, having their collaboration, but more or less a green side of things.
Okay. I think the way that YPP is the most unique from, like, traditional parties, I guess, like Vision or the Nonpartisan Association, is the idea of not being partisan, like truly being nonpartisan, right?
MPA is nonpartisan?
No, they're center right, but you guys are actually, like, trying to be nonpartisan centrist, right, and like answering to what the people want issue by issue. So on the website it talks a lot about closing the gap between people and the government. What are some like ways that you guys are directly trying to do that, like through either events or different like publicity? What are some of your methods in that?
Right. It's good because we've been the leaders in the sense we're a YPP of British Columbia. This is something that James, as leader, have been putting in place for a decade now. So it's been 10 years or so. We've never accepted corporate or union donations or even company donations. So it's been hard to raise money to put on events to really get our name out there. So it's been really just people working hard, volunteers working hard to get the name out there, but also to get the public involved in making these decisions. And we've also been the leader of not having leaning to left or the right or even center. It's just been about the people and what's best now, what's best for their, you know, 6 months down the road. And what's tough is that now we're seeing political parties trying to adopt the same thing, right? Now political parties are not accepting corporate union donations. Now they're going to start trying to be not leaning left or right. I mean, it's tough to see that because we've been working so hard at it, trying to get our name across without doing the whole corruption of taking in corporate union donations. But it's just been word of mouth. It's really been trying to get we do go to the bench, though, but it has been word of mouth.
Sure. Okay. And then, like you said, YPP has been around at the provincial level for, like, quite a bit of time. Bringing it to the city, you do have an advantage of being a new party because it's an alternative to people who are maybe jaded with Vision or jaded with the NPA or the Greens. But it's also, it could also be a challenge because you have to solidify kind of the branding. And is word of mouth kind of the same, like your main method in doing that as well?
Well, that's kind of a two-parter because since YPP Vancouver has merged in with Pro Vancouver, it's we were leveraging off some of the Pro Vancouver's contacts, and, you know, since they share similar views, and they've been doing it word of mouth as well, and they have a good name and good background to them. But for us, we ran 8 candidates in Vancouver, 10 in total for the province. So since we ran 8 in Vancouver candidates in the provincial election, what I ran in the Vancouver Kingsway, we knocked on thousands and thousands of doors.
Sure.
And we can only do as much as we can, right? I think I knocked on 10% of the doors in my constituents area because, you know, I have 2 kids and I work full time. It's hard.
Right, right.
But, you know, we got a lot of positive feedback and a lot of people were asking, why are you not running municipally? And I thought, you know, this is a good time. And I think Vancouver's a good spot to do it because we had 8 candidates and let's keep the name going. But also merging in with Pro Vancouver shows that your political party, regardless if it's a provincial or municipal, is that we're willing to work with parties. I mean, even provincially, we brought together a lot of the mining, I think it was 6 minor parties to talk about what would a collaboration look like for the next election.
Lips meet teeth and tongue. My heart skips 8 beats at once. That's better. If we were meant to be, we would have been by now. What you wanna see? All I see is him right now. Him right now. I'll sit and watch your car burn with the fire that you started in me, but you never came back to ask it out. Go ahead and watch my heart burn with the fire that you started in me, but I'll never let you back to put it out.
Thanks.
Your love feels so fake. My demands aren't high to make. If I could get to sleep, I would have slept by now. Your lies will never keep. I think you need to blow them out. Blow them out. I'll sit and watch your car burn with the fire that you started in me, but you never came back to ask it out. Go ahead and watch my heart burn with the fire that you started in me, but I'll never let you back to put it out.
I still remember that. Heaven sent a present my way. I won't forget your laugh. Packing everything when you leave. You know you coming back. Wanna see me down on my knees, but that was made for a ring. I try to wait for the storm to calm down, but that stubborn bit be leading the war. We drawn down on each other, trying to even the score. We all been found guilty in the court of a order.
And I'll watch your car burn with the fire that you started in me, but you never came back to ask it out. Go ahead and watch my heart burn with the fire that you started just to me, but I'll never let you bow to put it out. Watch your car, watch your car burn.
I won't forget your laugh.
Okay, so the first time we kind of discussed your name on the show was about your response to Robertson's April Fool's tweet. And I don't want to, like, ask you to bash him or get too into it, but can you just highlight the ways that you think he's let the city down?
Mr. Moonbeam, I'll highlight what he did well. Okay, so he did well with making the city a bit greener, for greener space. He didn't do a great job environmentally greener, but he made the city nicer.
Okay.
But what he failed at was making it livable for the average. And I say average to low to medium and upper middle class, and mainly he essentially destroyed the middle class, or destroyed any opportunity for anybody that grew up in Vancouver to be able to afford a home.
Sure.
And the ones who can afford a home, The taxes are outrageous. He's constantly raising the city taxes, and it's I think it's killing people. But even for myself, I mean, I live in a 800 square foot place with two kids, and you know, my wife and I have a pretty decent job, but we can't afford to live in the city. It's hard.
Right, right. Okay.
And he's responsible for it. He really is.
Okay. Have you met him, or have you ever had the opportunity to chat with him personally, or is this just you like having observed his tenure as mayor?
Most of it was through observation, but I have spoke at City Hall on a few occasions, and he's always been, he never really gives you the time.
Sure.
Almost like he just blanks out and just wants to hear you and then dismisses you, even though you ask a question, doesn't respond. He just says thank you. And I asked several times, I need you to answer my question, and he just won't answer the question. And this is during public speaking, but
You have on like the website you had for your mayoral campaign when you were running, you had like a list of promises such as donating $60,000 every year to the Carnegie Community Action Project to be accountable for any failure and accredit all accomplishments to the public and accept zero donations or influential funding. What are those all goals of Mr. Chen in his election as well? Like, are there ways that you guys differ at all? Like, I'm sure there are on an individual level, but politically or across like your party lines, are there ways that you differ?
You know, whatever he decides to do, that this is what the YPP of British Columbia definitely puts forward, is that we always donate a portion of our income if we're elected to various charity groups or whatever you feel is necessary. But also we signed a document stating that we need to follow our promises. If we don't follow our promises, then we're legally liable, and we would have to either step down or speak to the public to figure out what to do. That's just one of the big things that YPP of BC does, and no other party does. So it wouldn't be passed off to Dave Chen. It's what he decides to do moving forward. Now, that might have to change slightly for me to be a councillor, because it's half the income.
Sure.
Running for council than it is for mayor, but that was my commitment.
Okay.
My commitment, yeah.
Yeah. So, but, and then aside from that one, the rest are going to be like within reason consistent with what you've already stated, right? Just on maybe a different scale with the city councilor role, right?
Yeah. Okay. Different scale.
Okay. And then, so the last one you have is simply do the right thing, which like is undoubtedly noble.
You think so, but
yeah.
A lot of people don't.
I guess not. But I guess, obviously, when you answer like the right thing, you're answering to the people. When the people are split on an issue, what does YPP like tend to do? So like who determines what the right thing is if the people are split?
Well, I can't see the people being there. There's so many people that actually put their voices in. It's hard to really say that it's tie. I mean, in that case, you have to listen to more speakers or listen to more of the audience.
Sure.
But when push comes to shove, it's up to the people to decide. So the onus is on them to make the decision, but the onus is on me to inform them of the pros and the cons, and then give them, of course, my perspective and what would I do. And again, it's ultimately up to the public.
Okay. That's cool. Is there anything else you want Vancouverites to know about you or Mr. Chen or YPP going forward?
Your political party of BC, YPP, is it's never going to go away. It's going to constantly happen in the province, and I look forward to it growing, but it's going to be really exciting to see the collaboration with pro-Vancouver, and it'd be nice to see what pro-Vancouver does in support for YPP in the next provincial election.
Sure.
But this municipal election is going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. I don't know what's going to happen, because we have Adrian Carr right now trying to grab everyone's attention to run for mayor. I don't know if she's going to be successful at it, but I think David Chen has a pretty good advantage given MPA's fall, you know, all their mayoral candidates, and even actually brand the MPA's fallen apart. And vision's fallen apart. And One City is just basically a Vision 2.0. If anybody is listening, please understand that One City is basically Vision. It came out of Vision, or it came out of COPE. COPE, basically Vision and One City spawned off and out of COPE and became their own party. So you can see that we have an opportunity here for people, for Vancouverites to vote something other than the norm that's been happening for the past 20 years.
Awesome. Okay, and then I like to give every guest the opportunity to give a shout-out or a call-out if you're feeling like messy or wanting to call someone out, or just give a shout-out if you're feeling positive. Do you want to give either?
Oh, yeah, if someone's getting messy? Oh, absolutely. I guess this goes out to Mr. Hector Bremner. This is why we run. We run against these individuals. He's been voting on issues when he's currently a part of organizations that profit off of the votes that he does in the city council. And right now, it's looking forward to seeing the outcome. He's been a lobbyist. He is still currently a lobbyist, and he's for some reason a city councilor and for NPA in the city of Vancouver, which is completely against the rules. I hope the public understands that and sees what he's doing, and I hope the investigation currently that's going on right now kicks him out, because we don't need this corruption. We don't need this type of behavior in our city.
Awesome. I think you're the first one to give a call out, so I appreciate that. And I just want to say thanks for calling in, thanks for chatting, and best of luck on your campaign.
Thank you, good sir.
All right, take
How
care.
How do you feel?
Bye.
Is it loneliness? Is there shining in your heart? But no gloss on your lips. Do you sail alone round the island with a silhouette of a shark beneath the skin? And then you say,
wanna be where you are, you're the right.
Government now covers medications that could reduce your chances of contracting HIV by 90%. PrEP stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis and is a preventative measure that HIV-negative folks can take to reduce their risk of becoming positive. Health Initiative for Men suggests that if you have had sex with a partner with HIV, have had a recent STI, have multiple sexual partners, have a history of inconsistent or no condom use, are currently involved in sex work, or have had repeated courses of post-exposure prophylaxis, then you might want to think about looking into PrEP measures. CATR and Discorder are not medical professionals. Please refer to your doctor for more information.
Tune in Sundays from 9 till 10 p.m. for bootlegs and B-sides with your host, Doran, for the finest in soul, dubstep, ghetto funk, and electro.
You're a member of CITR and Discorder, but are you a true friend?
Get a Friends of CITR and Discorder card for $20 for discounts in Kitsilano and around UBC at
On the Fringe Hair Design, Rufus Guitar Shop, Stormcrow Ale House, The Bike Kitchen, UBC Bookstore, Australia Boot Company, and so many more.
All right, welcome back to Flashback. We're about to wrap up. Any final thoughts on politics or politrics?
It was a fun episode. We covered a lot, from Kanye to local Vancouver politics.
Yeah, to the National Liberal Convention as well.
Yeah, yeah, very interesting.
Also got some musical history. You got to discover
Neil Young, Buffy St. Mary?
Yep. Nice job.
I remember the names.
All right, well, let's wrap up. Thanks for coming by, Kareem.
Thanks for having me, man.
Of course. I also want to say thanks to Sarah and Brett for calling in. C1 Productions is up next, and we'll be back. This is Flashback. Peace.
Lady Gaga, and you're listening to CITR FM 101.9. Look out, Vancouver.